This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
Listening to Adaptation Decay, the premium patrons, Patreon show, where we look at how people have adapted video games to different media and have failed to do so primarily, with some exceptions.
Some exceptions, yes. And this month we are doing something that I think is an inspired choice, Gary. We're talking about the album Pac-Man Fever by Buckner and Garcia.
Yeah. Yeah, this came to me as an idea at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. They're playing the 1982 novelty hit of the same name, Pac-Man Fever. And it made me recall my brief fascination with this band in my mid-20s. can I have the floor and give a little background of my relationship with both Buckner and Garcia?
Yes, you may, because my story is probably the same kind of Sean Baby irony that everybody has.
I didn't find out about it through Sean Baby. I think because when I was little, I remember Pac-Man Fever from being a kid. It was on the jukebox at the laundromat in Aurora, Illinois. And there was a pinball machine that had was set to free play. And there was a vending machine that had like coffee, hot chocolate, and then like soup. It was one of those things.
Oh, yeah, the terrible soup that smells like fish water.
Yeah, I think it is fish water. It's like warm fish, warm nutrient broth.
There's just one fish that they keep inside there that the hot water runs through.
The tank, it's just like that's where he lives. And it just permeates him. And then a jukebox there that had Pac-Man Fever. So I always wanted quarters to listen to Pac-Man Fever because it had to do with video games. Flash forward 20 years or so, and something happened, and I don't remember what it was. It was not Sean Baby, because I have to look at this. I did not know Sean Baby wrote about this.
No, I just the Sean Baby flavor of like, hey, isn't this ridiculous video game culture kind of stuff? Yeah.
But I remembered it, and I was like, looked it up online. You know, it was the first time I had internet, or one of the early times where I had internet at my home, and then saw there was a whole album, and I was like, oh, I got to have this, because like, these are a bunch of songs about 1980s arcade games. I bet you it's ridiculous. And then I got it, and it was, and I was very evangelical to my friends about it, none of which who thought it was as funny as I did. And I kept trying to get my band to cover it during our Halloween like cover show. I was like, no, we have to be Buckner and Garcia this year. It'll be amazing
to just play the entire thing as a 35 minute set.
Yeah, like let's just learn all these songs, and then in the middle of any show, like, we can whip out Centipede and just like be the fucking weirdest shit, and nobody was down for it. Like, I couldn't convince anybody to do it. It was just me alone being like, no, but like, are you hearing this shit? Like, it goes on for 4 minutes. Why? it just didn't work. So them playing it just made me think about this, and I don't think we're gonna get a lot of chances to do like a CD.
No,
on this. This is a rarity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a rarity among the genres, but like, I think it's something that people really know about.
Oh, Pac-Man Fever, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think that many people know about like the album, though.
True.
Like, many people have heard Defender. like, not that many, right? Like, it's a weird artifact. Not just the Pac-Man Fever part, but the fact that they actually decided to make an album rather than just like a single.
The fact that they were shanghaied and put into a room and were forced to make the album.
Yeah, go, we need an album. Let's go roving the arcades at night to try to find a game that we think we might be able to write a song about, put, $10 into it to master it, and then write this song.
Yeah.
Which is actually what they did, which I know as a member of the Buckner and Garcia fan club.
Which you signed up. You signed up to 5 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, yeah. But I started trying to sign up for about an hour. Big shout out to Mike at Audio, whatever the tech support guy who helped me log into the Fever Vault.
I love that. Oh, I'm writing that down in my notebook here as a good name for a place and a thing.
Yeah, the Fever Vault. Big shout out to Mike at InternetAudioGuy.com for helping me log in, and it means I get access to a lot of exclusive stuff as a Pac-Man Fever fan club member. Is $4.99. However, that offer can expire at any time. And you get pretty much everything Buckner and Garcia have ever done. Like, some of which you can find on YouTube, some of which you can't, though. So it is, if you're a Buckner and Garcia, diehard, like much like somebody other than myself, then this will be very useful to you.
This has to exist for somebody. Like it can't, yeah. It can't be. Oh.
It can't, yeah, it can't just be. And I got it because it was $4.99, and I thought that was a good price to pay to have information in this episode that I wouldn't ordinarily have.
Right.
But if you want this album and you don't want to just YouTube it or Apple Music it, this is a cheap way to get this album, which I do think is weird and funny enough to listen to.
Yes. And if a song drags on too long, just skip it.
They all do.
Yep.
every song has a point. Like every single one of them has a, like a second mark. That is the legitimate, like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Like thing that happens. And I'm so there for it. Like, just like, just look over at my music playing device and be like, yeah. Like, yeah. All right.
Just picture being in a room, like, hey, listen to this, sit them down and just like staring at them intensely.
Yeah, just like, no, we have to get to all, like, you know, all the time. And all these songs feel like about twice as long as they are, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're very, like, so, you know, a lot of it is just kind of boilerplate, you know, I guess nonsense, right? Like,
yeah.
A lot of them are kind of homages to other songs. But each and every one of them is kind of also underwritten, where, like, they go on and have lots of repeated verses and such.
Yeah.
For reasons that I can't ascertain.
I mean, I'm generally willing to write off a lot of stuff to laziness. Like, it's already a very svelte album. Like, I know albums have gotten longer in the interim, but like 35 minutes, you know, that barely fills up one side of a record.
Yeah.
That's
it's a thing, man.
It certainly is. There's one track here where, let me see here. Oh, this song, this song lasts for about 4 hours, and that is Ode to a Centipede is what I wrote down. God,
that goes places, though. Yeah. It's about 4 hours. That was the one, one of them that I kept saying was, like, you know, an extremely funny song to my friends. And they just didn't have the patience to get to why it was funny, I feel like.
Oh, it's extremely funny. And we're going to talk, like, we're gonna talk about it in specifics.
It's my least favorite song on this album. Like, but I'd say, like, probably, like, quite a bit.
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a roughie.
Yeah, I think that Mousetrap is the nadir. But...
Oh, Mousetrap is also real rough as well.
Yeah, I would definitely cut that from this bad boy.
Yeah, it doesn't... well, I mean, we'll get to all of it. And so this will be... possibly a fairly, you know, svelte episode of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fine.
Yeah.
Like, well, that will have to be okay, because it's, you know, we're talking about an 8-song album, but it is definitely, like, it's not unnoteworthy. Like, I do not feel weird or bad about doing that, because it is noteworthy is the name of the game here.
Yeah. And if I'm, you know, being honest, I'm a little bit insecure about this. Like, hey, how can an album be an adaptation of a video game? Yes, this is historically noteworthy. However, these songs, in terms of their lyrics, like, it feels like they are trying to, like, make a walkthrough of the games.
It is an adaptation of a video game.
Yeah. You know, like, when you talk about the Worlds of Power books, which is the one you made up, Power Worlds? When you talk about the Worlds of Power books and you say, like, oh, they adapted baseball and it's just a description of a baseball game, these songs, for the majority of them, if they have any point of view, if they have any character, the majority of their actual content, or let's say incident, is just describing which direction things move in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like the Centipede talks about things that happen in Centipede.
Right.
Berserk talks about things that happen in Berserk, like, for the most part. Like, Donkey Kong doesn't talk about that much about what I mean. There's some liberties taken with Do the Donkey Kong, but there's a bunch of, like, these are like audio walkthroughs in a way. And just, like, reading, you know, getting the fan club, so on the fan club for this, they have little introductions they do for each song, where it's the surviving Buckner and Garcia. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about their process, and, like, that thing I said a little while ago is literally true, where they, you know, they made Pac-Man Fever, the record company wanted an album, so they would be like, okay, well, we probably know Donkey Kong, let's write a song about that. What's popular? But then they would go with, like, what's popular at the arcade?
Yeah.
Oh shit, a bunch of people are playing Mousetrap. let's master Mousetrap. Like, which they didn't need to do, but they would, like, play Mousetrap a lot. Mm-hmm. In order to, like, make a song that has a series of lines that is like a cat will eat a mouse, a dog will eat a cat or something like that. Like there's a thing about dogs eating cats in that song, which I didn't know Mousetrap. I watched some YouTube footage of it in preparation for this, and boy, no cats get eaten.
No, nope.
In Mousetrap.
Yeah. Yeah. So like if you look at their hit rate, like pretty much every game that they talk about is noteworthy, like notable, like we know it, except for Mousetrap. I've never played. I have no idea what that is.
Well, and is hyperspace a game, or is he talking about going into hyperspace and asteroids?
Asteroids. Hyperspace is about asteroids.
I was 90% sure of that. I just thought maybe there would be some kind of game called hyperspace that I didn't know.
Like the only one of these that I think outside of Mousetrap that would be considered obscure would be Berserk a little bit, but that's just because it wasn't remade to hell and back.
Which is weird because it is the dual stick shooter.
Yes.
Like it's the reason why we have that genre. So
yeah,
more or less, if there's some obscure example on a gigantic computer at a college campus at MIT, don't like at me, but it is a very early and popular dual stick shooter.
Yes.
So yeah. And there's a lot to, so this is going to be about this album and a little bit just about these dudes as well. Their website is such a treat. Cool.
Yep. Oh no, I've been we took a little break before we recorded. We talked about some business and I have been poking around it. I'm disappointed that the songs and stories section, everything appears to be missing content. So need to contact webmaster at what?
Well, that's because you have to be a member.
Oh, dang.
Get into the songs and songs and stories, weirdly enough. there is a songs and stories section, but it's members only.
Mm.
Did you click on the link on here for Pac-Man Coffee Cup?
Yes, I did.
Which is a web page that has a broken link.
Yeah. So this is in the top nav. It's like home dashboard, full CD, and then Pac-Man coffee cup.
Yeah. it's ranked before personal appearances. I mean, it's in alphabetical order, but it looks like it's ranked before personal appearances, pictures, shirts is Pac-Man coffee cup, which is just a link that says, if you're a video game nerd like me, you love drinking your coffee out of this cool Pac-Man coffee cup.
It makes it taste like video games.
Like the link doesn't work, but I can imagine a Pac-Man coffee cup. Like we live in a post think geek world.
Right.
It's so cute. Like, it's extremely quaint to me. Did you go to Dick Clark?
That link? No, I did not.
So Dick Clark.
I didn't see it below there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I guess his own link. It's just his little eulogy for Dick Clark. It's like, two paragraphs and a couple odd sentences.
Yeah.
I was just missing Dick Clark.
Yeah, Dick Clark was the consummate pro and a real gentleman. He will be missed.
I mean, not to be argued with, but does that deserve a place of such prominence?
It seems like a blog post. It doesn't seem like something you put in the top nav.
Like a section of your website. If you go to shirts and stuff, it is literally just every shirt you can imagine with cursive script on the front that just says, I've got a pocket full of quarters and I'm headed to the arcade in cursive. And that's every single shirt that they've made.
Yep.
Just really like very, very fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, rink-a-dink, on the other, quaint and cute.
Yeah. Like pretty, I think pretty charming.
Yeah.
These guys, you know, trying to stick with, internet culture.
Yeah.
Kind of after the,
Here's how sad. I don't know why, but this actually strikes me as kind of sad. The top nav link that says buy CDs, there's just one thing. It's Pac-Man Fever 30th anniversary CD.
The industry. If you go to their bio, one of the subsections under bio is Soapbox Derby. Help save the All-American Soapbox Derby.
Okay.
And it's just him trying to save the Derby.
Boy Scouts do?
Yeah, it sounds like it. An effort has been made by the city of Akron and actor-director Corbin Burnson to save the Derby through a film called 25 Hill. Former residents of Akron, songwriters Gary Garcia and Jerry Buckner of Pac-Man Fever, WKRP, and Cincinnati, decided to help composing a song called Keeping the Dream Alive.
Hmm.
So that is why it's in, but it's in their bio?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's extremely, like, it is a website. It is a website.
Yeah. It certainly is. It definitely has the there's a little bit of Crick appeal to this, if I'm being honest.
Oh yeah. Like this feels like the closest to an Abject Suffering.
Yeah.
That the show is gonna get.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of thing that would just be a dream to like stumble upon in an Abject Suffering.
Yeah.
Like
have to break everything apart. Oh my God.
Yeah. Just like, oh, stop the presses.
Yeah.
I just went to the fever vault.
I returned from the fever vault. Yeah. Stop with the secrets of the man.
Yeah. These guys.
Used
to be in a band called Kix Incorporated.
That's a very good name.
It is really good. I found that out through the exclusive eight JPEGs I'm accessed to as a member of the Fever Vault.
Limited time only.
These eight exclusive JPEGs.
Glossy JPEGs.
Yeah. So they're all right. I'd say the resolution on these bad boys is like middling. Like, these are okay images.
Yeah. But do you feel like it got your money's worth? I guess is my.
For $4.99, like I think this is like just the being able to say I did it.
Yeah.
On the show, and then also learning some extra facts, and stuff.
Of course.
And I listened to the demo versions of the songs that are on this album, and they are interesting. Including one that is the secret one that I think is actually like a pretty good song, which we'll get to.
Ooh, this will be fun.
Secret. And there are a couple of these I think are actually not so bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're catchy at the very least. Like you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell what their background is.
Yeah. Consummate like studio professionals.
Right.
These dudes, you know, who just like had this weird crossover hit and had the other thing they're noteworthy about, which is the WKRP and Cincinnati song. Mm-hmm. And then nothing else, but like, you know, good for these guys, man. Yeah. Like what a weird little like career they carved out.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about them in earnest here.
Yeah, let's do it. So Buckner and Garcia, appropriately enough, it's, you know, two kind of headliners. They have like a backing band behind them for this album. Jerry Buckner and Gary Garcia are kind of the two.
It fucks me up, man, because it seems like Jerry Garcia every time I see it.
Exactly,
like,
right?
There's a lot of Jerry Garcia in this. So.
Yeah. But they were a jingle writing duo who kind of grew up together in Akron, Ohio, a town that is a punchline, but is also home to like these just a weird music scene a little bit.
Yeah.
Like some a lot of people came from there. Chrissy Hynde, Devo's from there, the Black Keys, etc.
Yeah. And Chrissy Hynde's My City Was Gone, mm-hmm. potentially about Akron.
Yeah.
And so they saw these guys, their songwriting duo, they saw a Pac-Man machine. This is in the early 80s,
yeah.
Right? Saw a Pac-Man machine for the first time at a restaurant in Marietta, Georgia. And they got hooked on the game. Like they were genuine fans and ended up writing a song about it.
Yeah.
It's part of like, we, you know, I was making fun of these guys on their website earlier. I do have a lot of genuine affection for them. And they're not, you know, when you said like, there is some laziness to these songs. They were kind of like forced to write in addition.
Yeah.
But this first thing, like they like actually like this stuff.
Yeah. They
you know, they're just huge, huge, huge dorks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the dorkiest possible expression of joy for Pac-Man.
I'm always going to show up for dorkiness.
Yeah. It is very sweet. Like these are very sweet and innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, they were genuinely hooked on the thing and wrote this song about Pac-Man.
Yeah. And if, you know, if it sounds like I'm being mean when I say they're lazy, it absolutely is the case that they didn't want to make the rest of these songs. Like, you know, the single itself was a hard enough sell. Like no record label wanted it. They're like, hey, I think we have something here. Like, what the fuck is this? Which is a proper response, I think, to Pac-Man fever. But it found a home on like Drive Time Radio.
They enjoyed it, and eventually this, you know, did get the attention of record companies. CBS said like, hey, you can make a record, but we want it to be all game songs.
Yeah, so it couldn't just be like, hey, here's Buckner and Garcia doing their soft rock, yacht rock kind of hits.
Well, it's almost all like, there's almost all novelty songs prior to this,
right?
Like they've done a couple of the songs that are kind of like sound like legitimate songs.
Mm-hmm.
But a bunch of their songs prior to this were comedy songs.
Mm-hmm.
So like their song Mr. T, Merry Christmas in the NFL was, I think, their first song they put out. But like they did a lot of like jingles and novelty songs. They were not in the sincere songwriting business. Those are the exceptions.
Yeah.
More than anything.
it's pretty funny because you can tell they wanted to do different stuff if you read interviews.
Which makes this a little bit tragic as well.
Definitely. Because like, okay, CBS says we're gonna give you the big break. However, like it's a monkey's paw wish because it has to be all video games. You know, it can't just be Pac-Man Fever and then other songs you otherwise wanted to write.
Yeah, and songs about your feelings and the like. Like this is, you know, exclusively going to be about video games or nothing. And the you know, it's a lot, or it's a little bit like the second season of Extras, which, like, you know, Ricky Gervais is gross, but that show is good, and the second season is like really interesting thing, mm-hmm. you know, that happens where he gets his wish, but it's like the worst version of it.
Right.
Gets on TV, and it's
yeah. Yeah. So we talked about their songwriting process a little bit, but you know, like writing lyrics for them was difficult. They had no problem really coming up with the hooks. But how do you write a verse about Frogger? Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. You describe what Frogger does over and over and over.
Moves up and down with no rhyme or reason.
Which there's actually quite a bit of rhyme and reason.
Yeah. Like not Buckner, not getting
Garcia.
Hit. Come on.
Yeah.
Whichever one of you. Which one of you did this?
Yeah. Yeah, so they went down to the arcade to like learn about these other songs, and it was really difficult to get this album out because they used all these sound effects from the game
quite well, actually. I think this is a really good example of like sampling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very tastefully done. Eventually they re-released it, this came later, and they had to re-record everything.
Yeah,
because they couldn't get those sounds. So yeah. the re-recordings are actually very similar. The litmus, if you want to know whether you're listening to the right one or not, is when they went back to re-record them, they could not find a working mousetrap machine.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, that's kind of the loser of the bunch of these games. So they end up using actual like pet shop sounds.
Yeah.
So it's animals, you know, kind of making regular animal noises, and then the song starts.
Right.
So it's video game noises, original it be, animal noises, steer clear, if I were thee. You know,
like, red skies at night, mousetrap is
delight.
Yep.
Yeah, like
yeah. But like the version that's on Apple Music is the re-release version, which is not well regarded by people who are fans of the original for various production reasons. Yeah, it's like a production and mixing kind of difference more than anything.
It is like glossier and like less good, but also, to me, this is a thing where that kind of transcends production, where it's just the content.
Yeah.
You know, it's the chords and the words.
Exactly.
And the concept that are interesting to me.
Yeah. But Pac-Man Fever was a huge deal. Like, they released it as a single. It hit number 9 on the Billboard Top 100. You know,
Number nine.
Like, come on.
Remember when we did that show called File Underwater about REM?
Uh-huh.
And for the entire back third of their career, they didn't get in like the top 80 in the Billboard chart. And Pac-Man Fever got number 9.
Yeah. It also took them 5 albums to even break the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas Pac-Man Fever just swooped in and just took it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was clearly like written off the back of the craze. You know, people were kind of into Pac-Man. They were into video games in 1982, you know, right when the, you know, things were reaching kind of this saturation point before the great crash that everybody talks about.
Well, and this is like the billionth time I've pointed this out or it's been pointed out at all, but the crash didn't really happen to arcades.
Right.
Like the crash is home consoles almost exclusively. Yeah, like arcades and computers were fine, and arcades stayed strong.
Yeah, that's why I hedged with that. People talk about like you can't talk about anything that happens in the early 80s without mentioning that. But
because nobody thinks PCs are real. it's a weird thing. People don't actually think anybody played games on them.
Right.
I think because GoldenEye is the first person shooter.
Of course. Like this ended up being, you know, a hit for them and their only hit. I think they released Dude the Donkey Kong as another single, but it didn't do as well. And their time in the sun kind of passed.
Yes. So eventually, you know, there's always this kind of like seed of nostalgia, mm-hmm. though, you know, so enough to where they did re-release the record, as you mentioned, in 1999 and 2002. And this is where, you know, the Apple Music version with the new production is from.
Yes.
U2 has the originals, if you want to hear them. And sadly, Gary Garcia died in 2011. I don't think it was ever released how he died.
Mm-hmm.
He was surrounded by there were 4 color swaths around him in a perfect circle. And then in blood written pinky inky blinky
and died. Yeah. Imagine how pissed off all those ghosts would be, where the person who helped popularize Pac-Man and the act of devouring ghosts passes away. Like, oh my gosh, it's like a cop going to jail.
Yeah. Like, don't let the sun set on you here, new fish. Do you like W KRP in Cincinnati? We don't care, motherfucker. Hey, I got 2 words for you. Closed casket.
There's a song that came out with Buckner and Garcia on the name after Gary passed away, and it is the title track from the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack. They recorded it after he died. They added, you know, they released it under the name Buckner and Garcia, kind of for the name appeal, right?
Yeah, it's really just Buckner.
Yes,
and out of respect for Garcia. It's the song Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cute song.
Yeah, it's got a very good hook to it.
I liked that movie.
That's a good movie.
Like that would, you know, that would be a waste of a stretch, but that would be something we could do on the show at some point.
Yeah.
It doesn't adapt anything specifically, but it adapts like kind of more of a culture and idea. But I thought it was a really cute movie.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this song, Pac-Man Fever, was produced and remixed by a man named Jace Hall. That is the lead, like the single that came out before the movie Ready Player One. And it's called Pac-Man Fever, parentheses, Eat 'Em Up. And it has a rapping ghost, and the production's real bad, and the video is really annoying, and Ready Player One ruins everything it touches.
Right.
So, I think we're past the backlash of that, where it's okay to make fun of Ready Player One.
Okay, good.
Because it was good to make fun of it, and then everyone freaked out about people making fun of it, and then now I think it's good to make fun of it again.
Okay, cool.
So we're on that part of the sine wave of. Just let people like what they like versus some things are bad.
I'm very happy that you're picking up the sine wave. That concept. Man, that movie hasn't even come out yet, though. Like, we're going to have another just shit barn happen.
That'll cause another wave.
Yeah, yeah. I'm already getting, from my family, my stepdad loves nerdy movies, loves comic book movies. Like, oh, you're going to love Ready Player One when it comes out.
And Spielberg, who knows? This video and the trailer definitely don't, and the source material, like there's nothing that actually makes me think it will be okay.
Yeah,
I suppose I don't have perfect knowledge that it isn't, but like
right.
All signs point to pretty rough.
Yeah.
The rapping ghost and the Pac-Man Fever Eat 'Em Up video doesn't like inspire confidence, because like parts of it definitely look like it's scenes from the movie.
Uh-huh.
And like that rapping ghost could be part of the movie. Like I would not put it past anybody involved in this stuff. They had a rapping ghost, which like, you know, I can imagine the person who's like, yeah, man, rapping ghost. But I am not that person.
No,
like,
no.
Give me rapping ghost and I'll see you later. That's me.
So. Yeah, it's a signal. Like, yeah, I'm just going to duck out.
This is not for me.
I'm going to go grab some smokes.
Yeah.
Be back in a minute.
Give me a minute. I'm going to go start smoking. I'm going to take up a cigarette. I'm going to learn to vape.
Learn to Vape is a very strange Foo Fighters remix.
This is the worst Tom Petty song.
Yeah.
I do that instead of doing the rapping ghost.
Right.
So let's go through these songs. And when we cover music, I try not to put a sample from everything in there, but there's only 8 songs here.
Yeah.
And I do think they have to be heard to be believed. So I'm going to put in at least a little bit of all these songs.
Yeah. Well, I will marker liberally. How about that?
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got Pac-Man fever. It's driving me crazy. I got Pac-Man fever. I'm going out of my mind. I got Pac-Man fever. I'm going out of my mind. I got all the patterns down.
So let's get started. The album starts appropriately enough with the cultural sensation that is Pac-Man Fever.
So let me say this. One of my first kind of exposures to Pac-Man Fever was when Homer demanded that the Who play it.
Mm-hmm.
And he sings it wrong. He's like, Pac-Man a fever. It's driving me crazy. Like, no, that's not how it is, Homer.
No, it's got a very distinct melody. Like, yeah. You know, Buckner and Garcia, if anything, are consummate tunesmiths. Like, they made catchy songs.
Right.
And this is catchy.
Oh, it's very catchy. Well, it's like, it's in a call and response to, you know, too. Like, it is made to, like, be pounded into your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like an old-timey, like, you know, rock and roll song in, like, the old style of rock and roll.
Yeah, like that old-time rock and roll.
Like, yeah, like the old-time rock and roll. Like, they just took this record off the shelf. But like, yeah, like a blues rock song.
Yeah, yeah. It's got kind of a boogie woogie piano to it. And there's some very choice early 80s synth work going on all throughout
this.
The
Moog on this is actually like pretty good.
It's great.
Yeah, some of the Moog like keyboard tones are very, very good. this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it tells the tale. There's a kid who's very into to Pac-Man. He's got his Pac-Man where he's heading to the arcade, as you may have seen on the popular shirt.
Available at cafepress.com.
Yeah. Yep. And it describes what it is like to play Pac-Man when it's in the verses.
Right. And this kid's like in the thralls, you know, he is spending all of his money. He's coming back day after day. Don't have much, but I'm going to put it all into Pac-Man. He's got shoulder pain. He's developing calluses. It's a real tale of woe. Yeah.
Yeah. So the big problem with this album in general is I think that there is too much repetition and too many like choruses.
Yes.
To things. So this, I'm looking at the Genius section of this. You see the verses, there's three like pretty svelte paragraphs that tell the story.
Yeah.
About this. And I'm actually like pretty okay with this, and it shows, you know, understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got all the patterns down up until the ninth key. You know, I got Speedy on my tail. I know it's either him or me. Like, you know, good, like all pretty legit. It just spends so much time in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which the chorus is good. It's catchy again, but like it ends up being a little bit much. So there's definitely the point of this where about when it goes into the third chorus, which is the last one, which it does for a long time, is the like, are you fucking kidding me moment of this song.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. So the thing that I like about this and what I think makes this stand out above the others is that this does have a definite concept. There's a there's a point of view in this, even if it is hung up on the particulars of the way the side tunnel works. Like, this is a person talking about their life and like being very focused on what is going on inside the game itself. Like, it's almost like he is singing a song about like a great sports play that he did or something like that.
Yeah.
The other songs on the album, I'm not sure what point of view they're told from.
It's from the GameFAQs point of view. Like, it is literally just like some like an alien describing an arcade game.
Yeah. And so all of these games, you know, for most of them, you could swap out anything, right? They're so abstract. There's nothing really to them. But like, with the exception of Defender, I think, and maybe Hyperspace, it's never really told from the point of view of somebody who is like a character in the game.
In those,
it's like, oh, I'm the captain of the spaceship. But then it pulls out and says, I press the button and fire. And like, I was like, okay,
well, yeah. Yeah, there's a button on the spaceship.
Okay, true. Yeah. Spaceships are made of buttons.
Yeah, this is so interesting. One of the things that's really interesting to think about with Pac-Man Fever, and one of the only Genius notes is it says that like, Buchner and Garcia paved the way for like Brundtlefloss.
Yeah.
And other, you know, modern YouTube parody songsmiths. And the games being this simple and being kind of something you can graft anything onto, I think makes this significantly more tolerable and fun and special than like Brundtlefloss.
Right.
Who I think is like, I'm sure is a very nice guy. But
yeah, he had a panel before us that one time, and he was real
he's
cool.
He's a very nice guy. Yeah. I never want to listen to that.
No.
Like that is the, if you like ask me like what sounds good, you know, how about somebody making up lyrics about a video game to the music of the video game? Like that's no, I'm good. Like, you know, miss me with that, please. But this, because it is so simple, they can just kind of make these songs that not only could you substitute any video game for, you can almost substitute anything for.
Right.
You know, like these could be about anything. So they just end up being like early 80s. Like you could take the instrumentation of this and map it on to a Journey album.
Yep.
Like this sounds like a Journey album.
It does. Yeah.
Like, but with maybe a little bit more variety in genre.
Plug your magic twang, you're a froggy. Froggy takes one step at a time. The way that he moves has no reason to rhyme. He hops and jumps, dodges and ducks, cars and buses, vans and trucks.
Go, froggy, go.
You gotta keep on hopping and you get to the top.
Go, froggy, go.
You gotta keep on hopping.
So we move on to Froggy's Lament, which like one, I was listening to this with my girlfriend. I was showing her this this morning. Oh, and she's like, she says, this isn't a lament.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. This does not sound like there's any lamenting involved. This is like Convoy or something. Yes. This is, you know, or the baseline is like a Radar Love.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely.
Or California Love, I guess.
Yeah, it's like California Dreaming. Yes. Categorically not. No, it's like a dirty southern like swamp rock kind of thing. Yeah. A little bit.
It is like he does the entire thing in this like, you know, go Froggy go.
Marge, you're breaking my heart.
It never ends. He kind of sings it.
Yeah.
During the whole thing. And again, like just too many choruses in this, right? I'm looking conservatively. I'm looking at Genius here. Let's see how many choruses it counts. Eight, eight to nine. I think it's that part. But during the I think this is like pretty catchy and funny.
Oh yeah. Well, like the go Froggy go part is great. Like
go, gotta keep on hopping until you get to the top. Like. Into that, and that is what happens in Frogger.
Yeah. You hop to the top. I don't know where there's an otter in Frogger, but okay.
I don't know where there's an otter either. I also the beginning of the when we're talking about this just being like pointlessly descriptive though, like the verses are almost all the same. So not only does it repeat choruses, it actually does repeat the verses, the first couple lines of the verses over and over.
Froggy takes one step at a time. The way that he moves has no reason to rhyme. And like, they have got a real problem with scansion too.
Yeah. That's always the case. Like the first two lines of every verse is Froggy moves one step at a time. You know, that whole bit.
Uh-huh.
The real joy in this are the little vocal fills that he does in between. Which are like have to be heard to be believed in this song and in the next one.
Oh, of course.
I think.
Yeah.
Man.
Puff your magic twanger, Froggy, which is a reference to like a 60s kid show called Andy's Gang.
Oh, like I couldn't figure out what that was too. Yeah. I couldn't know what he was saying exactly either. Like at one point he's saying pluff.
Uh-huh. Which
I'll pluck her. Because he says it like demon voice. Your magic twanger, Froggy.
Yeah.
Like he says it. And the whole song is written from the perspective of a truck driver who just said ass grass or gas and has moved on to sing Froggy's Lament.
Yeah. So Froggy's Lament, like at no point is the loop that Frogger is stuck in portrayed as like a bad thing. It's never really alluded to that he is in mortal danger of being squished. What's that?
You know, he doesn't get run over. He drowns at one point.
Yeah.
There's a threat of drowning. But he doesn't get run over.
Yeah.
And these little things, you know, so he's, you know, pluck your magic wagger, Froggy. At one point, just goes, "Hiya, kids." It is so good and weird. What is happening with this fucking song?
I guess for old Froggy, it's sink or it's swim. Like,
yeah. At times, I wish Froggy had wings.
Yeah.
And this is like Froggy as a game. Is that like a knockoff of Frogger?
No, it's just Frogger. He's just talking about Frogger.
Because the other one, like he calls him Froggy. It's very like colloquial. And the other ones, they actually just use the name of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're trying to copyright or anything.
Yeah. I don't think I don't think he thought that Frogger was the name of the frog in Frogger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like his name was Froggy, but frogging is what he does. So he is a Frogger.
Yes. Yes. Also, he uses like sound samples from Frogger. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And if, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. And if you feed him hazelnuts and then eat his livers, it makes frogois.
That's so dumb. And
get that frogois lament. Yeah. It's pretty dumb. The next song on the album is my least favorite. I think it's funny, but it's the one I want to listen to the least, not least of which because it is 1,000 years long.
Yep. You listen to this and you've got gray hairs and all of your friends are dead.
Yeah. This puts you into a time chamber when you start listening to Ode to a Centipede.
Yeah, which this is not an ode.
No, that's true.
There's no affection for the centipede. In fact, I would say this song in content is the most hostile.
Yeah. Very anti-centipede. Which is, of course, should be centipede being the antagonist of the game, centipede.
Yeah. So, Gary, what I want you to do is mm-hmm. imagine there was never a game called Centipede.
And I just heard this song.
Yep. The like, Centipede like multiplies and divides.
Yeah. It'd be incredible. Like, it'd be like a weird Sid Barrett acid trip song about like, you know, a creature he created, like a being he created.
Yes.
Called Centipede. Like, this is some Nightman shit. Because he also sings it. So this is like this minor key piano song that sounds like Journey's Separate Ways quite a bit. And the way he sings it in this kind of a high threat voice during the sing parts. Mm-hmm. And the centipede multiplies and divides, you know, very scary. And then there are asides in this as well.
You can't get away, little centipede. I'm right behind you. Don't try hiding behind the mushrooms. I see you.
So, you know, it has these breaks where it's just like, and during these parts, he's just like, here I come. I'm coming to get you.
You can't hide.
You can't hide. Like, he's just like very creepy.
Don't try like, hiding behind those mushrooms. I see you.
I'm out wherever you are. Like, what is this? It's amazing. And he's talking to a centipede from the perspective of a fucking ship. Like, give me a break.
I understand now.
He says, I understand now. What are you getting? I'm right behind you. You can't fool me by changing colors.
Go ahead and run your little legs off. Do you have Nikes for all of them?
That is something else. Like, that little joke in the middle of this, like, 10-hour song. It's, like, humorless as it could possibly be.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Just describing that the centipede multiplies and divides and has spider friends.
Yeah, he's got spider friends. He goes row by row, slide to the rocks to get you from below. Like, those are all things that happen in Centipede. Again, uh-huh. This is like a game fact in song form. Like, that does describe Centipede pretty well. But it is just, and it goes on for a very long time.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very long time.
Yeah. So, like, if this was half as long, I think I would be much kinder to it, honestly.
It is, like, I mean, so Mousetrap is real bad.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, we'll do first and worst at the end of this.
Yes, we will.
That's a standard thing. But, like, Mousetrap is very bad. It just feel like, even if it is the same length, it doesn't feel quite as long to me.
Yeah.
You know, even though it also, again, all these songs feel too long.
Yeah. Well, this one's 5 minutes and 37 seconds.
Yeah, okay, Buckner Garcia. So after that, we get our second single here, Do the Donkey Kong.
And this is pretty fun. This is like it's like a 60s style dance instructional song, you know? Like,
I think the song is pretty catchy.
Yeah. Everybody do the funky grandpa.
Yeah. This is a song about doing the funky grandpa Kong.
The cranky Kong, please.
Cranky. Well, there's a funky Kong too, which is what confused me. Is there a funky Kong?
Yeah. Funky Kong.
His name something Kong. I don't know which one, what the name of the particular funky Kong is.
Oh, we're going to get letters.
This has this like, ding 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 beat throughout the whole thing, whatever you would call that. Yeah, like that mercy beat,
yeah,
kind of thing. And it's extremely like catchy rhythm to this. I think the song out of Song of this album is very catchy and kind of good.
Yeah,
goes on too long, like all of them. Too many choruses. Yep. Do the lyrics actually say very much about what's happening in the game? Nope.
Talks about putting out a fire with a hammer.
Yeah, so there's that. It also says open up the umbrella and answer the phone, neither of which are things that happen in Donkey Kong.
It talks about tiptoeing through the tulips or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a dance instruction thing. So only some of the things actually feel like, you know, lyrics. And some of them get very weird. So like after you tiptoe through the tulips and raise your hands up high, there's a fire down below. You don't want to catch his eye. Hide behind each other. And don't even make a sound. You're in trouble now. Take the elevator down. Like if you imagine that from the voice of the narrator of Ode to a Centipede, like it becomes a very different.
You're in trouble now.
Take the elevator down. hide behind each other. So some of the stuff actually sounds like Donkey Kong. And they never mentioned Mario, which I would have appreciated as a Mario fan.
Yeah.
But the noteworthy thing of this is this this chorus, which is just it's very simple, and empty, like. You know, somebody saying like come on or yeah or something like that during a chorus, like I always think is kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, like just empty language. But like, God, if it isn't like pretty catchy and he kind of kills it.
Well, he puts his back into it. Like it sounds like he's gonna be hoarse. It's like it's like John Lennon at the end of Twist and Shout. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really, like, you know, really kind of owning it. Do the dog. You can do the Donkey Kong. You know, just going way into it near the end. And it also does another thing that I think is so funny where it fades out real quick and then pops right back up at the end.
I love the false start. The false start is one of my favorite things in music. But
false stop, like a false start would be like, oh, we fucked up the beginning.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, false stop, there we go. Yeah.
It is so funny. Like it's so dumb when that pops up.
Conceptually, like a dance instructional kind of thing, like, oh, you gotta put your hands on your hips and stick out your butt. Those are fun, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a dance instructional about just playing a game or doing something that is not a dance.
Yeah, like if you read this as dance instructions, it feels like the words of a maniac. Here's the dance you gotta do to escape Donkey Kong's dungeon. Like, wave your hands in the air, stomp your feet on the ground. Those are things I can do. Climb up the ladder quickly and spin yourself around. Like, well, okay. Like, if there's a ladder at play, open up the umbrella and answer the phone. You can do this with a partner. You can do it all alone. Like, not only does this not have that much relation to dancing, it doesn't have that much relation to Donkey Kong. Like, it doesn't have relation to anything. It has relation to words that fit the meter.
Also, if I'm doing this alone, who am I hiding behind?
Yeah, so I can't do this all alone. You have to do this with a partner.
This is lunacy, Gary.
Yeah, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
But like I think the song is kind of enjoyable to listen to. And there's a second single, and I don't see why this wasn't like pretty popular. Like I think this is like genuinely real catchy. This also uses the samples really well. When the samples pop in during the break, like they're to the beat and like fit.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I didn't mention that with Ode to a Centipede, but they really use the like as part of the backing percussion in a pretty cool way.
I agree, and it also sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, and like if there is a triumph of this album aside from the catchiness, it's that. Like this is sampling, but it is sampling that is done in service of the music. Yeah, there's some stuff that is just kind of like, hey, remember this? You know. But right. Like arcades have wonderful sounds. Arcade games, you know, like the sound effects that go into those are very well designed and very attractive. So they should fit into music pretty well.
It's the same thing where and especially arcade games of this vintage where like some of them didn't really have soundtracks. They just had these like or they didn't have songs so much. They had these, you know, like some kind of sound that a creature would make when he moved that kind of creates the illusion of a sound or a song. Kind of around it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that is a kind thing that I will say about this while not laughing. Like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is good. Also good. I love hyperspace, Gary.
Hyperspace is pretty good.
Yeah.
Hyperspace, it's not, it's, well, I mean, we'll get to it. I don't want to burn cast. Hyperspace is extremely
good. Well, I mean, it's the next song.
It is the next song. I was just saying it's good, but it's not my fave.
Oh, no. It's yeah. Good.
It's good though. Like hyperspace is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is about asteroids, and it's and good. Kudos to them for not calling it asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a specific mechanic in asteroids.
Yeah.
Which is like the button that you can press to warp randomly around the screen to avoid trouble.
I'm invisible now, but I'll be back again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kicking the thrust because I just got to win. Oh. I just got to win.
Well, no. The way that he says thrust is the way that I want to live my
thrust.
Life. Kicking the thrust.
Yeah. He definitely like thrusts forward with his hips when he does that.
Yeah.
Like that is that's implying, you know, like this is this character in the song who's driving the spaceship and asteroids like is a big swing and dong of space.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I mean that's his joystick.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. But like it's I don't have that much to say about this besides like this sounds like a rock song to me.
Yeah. Also like a 70s, you know, rock song. There's like a nice the kind of call and response choruses, which is what they do for most of these.
Mm-hmm.
Has a nice little sound effect in it because the backup singer will go like hyperspace, and there's like a real good like like that happens there every single time.
Yeah.
And he also says shooting my rockets all over the place, which again, just in terms of swinging dicks,
right,
is a good. A good thing.
I think that this just gets into my general, I think, affection for cock rock kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely it feels like very like cock rock to me.
Yeah.
You know, this is very music that comes from the dick.
Yeah.
As befits asteroids.
Yes, as it does. You know, it's a very aggressive kind of game. Yes. Yeah, and also I don't know if it's good. Like I generally am not that down for like immediately solo, but like it felt appropriate here.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it makes sense for hyperspace.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, again, gotta give it props for being accurate. You know, push on that button, I'm back in the race. Like that is the function of that power up.
Yep.
In asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long time since I played asteroids. Like a real nice like vector asteroids with the dial.
Of course.
A wheel, like that's a very satisfying.
I'm saying of course too much, but you're right. One of the sad things about PRGE is, you know, like as it grows, the vector arcade game section is getting smaller and smaller. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah. With this year, I think two things. Like one, pinball is ascendant. Like pinball has been ascendant kind of like the last few years anyway, but there were more pinball machines there. And there was a whole section set up for Star Wars games for some Star Wars anniversary nonsense.
Right.
So, like a lot of real estate was taken like with kind of, you know, individual to this year, special event.
Yeah.
Style stuff.
Yeah. But I love those vector games. I want to have the laser etched on the back of my eye.
Yeah. I would really like to get a Vectrex. Reagan Kelly of the Short Game Podcast, friend of the show and friend, has a Vectrex and was posting pictures of it last year.
Oh, nice.
I think they're kind of spendy, but like they are very beautiful machines that I should like to own one day.
Yes.
I've always been on the lookout for like a decent condition Vectrex.
Yeah.
Also like there are a bunch of games like that I like on Vectrex. Like I like Asteroids. I like,
Tempest, man.
Tempest. Yeah. Tempest is good. Like that's a fun game. I mean, there wouldn't be Super Hexagon without Tempest.
True.
Next up is Defender, or The Defender. I like the song quite a bit.
Okay.
There's a demo version of this too that is like just him and a piano that I think is like revealing and good.
I would very much like to hear that.
Like I was saying before we got on, like we can split my membership like a Netflix subscription. I'll give you my Hulu. You give me your Hulu credentials so I can watch the first 7 episodes of season 2 of The Good Place, and I will give you my Fever Vault credentials. Listen to the demo version of The Defender with a special foreword from Buckner.
Jesus.
So, or whichever one is the surviving one. I get them confused.
Yeah.
With the surviving Buckner or Garcia.
I believe that Garcia is the one who's passed and then Buckner is the one who's still alive.
Yes. Yeah. There's got to be like a mnemonic device for that.
They're dying in reverse alphabetical order.
There we go. Yeah. Or like when it comes to Buckner, you don't get Faulkner when it comes to Garcia and Gunnar Garcia later or something like that. Like, I don't, you know, I'm going to go Garcia at the crossroads.
I miss my Uncle Jerry.
I miss my Uncle Garcia, y'all.
So the Defender, I think this one's a little bit of a snoozer. There's some real like yacht rock synth on this one.
Yeah, it is rock, yacht rock synth. And the verses are, you know, kind of perfunctory. I think that's where he talks about, you know, being, but it is from the perspective of like the person in the shipping commander, you know, and it's got like a mild amount of pathos for this album, you know, like I'm a million miles from home. I'm in a foreign place, you know, I don't want to be here, which is a weird, you know, weird kind of thing. Talking about Defender, I think the chorus, I think the chord progression in the chorus is really good. Like, I think it's really that little walk down and walk up that it does after the lines.
That is pretty good. Yeah.
I think that's a really, like a really nice, like little chord progression.
Maybe some of my animosity for this comes from the chorus rhyme, which rhymes mutant bender with mind bender.
Yeah. And it's really hard to even hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like the I'm a defender, like definitely comes through. And he says like a mutant bender, but it just kind of sounds like mander. You know, it just sounds like nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
The rhymes are like it is. You could have come up with a much better rhyme than that.
Yeah, let's just say like Ender. You know, yeah. I'm a mind bender, a mutant Ender. Okay, cool.
Yeah, mutant Ender would much better than mind bender and mutant bender. Yeah. My ex-wife used to because that was who I was with when I first got into this in my mid-20s, used to think he was saying I'm the defender of my Nintendo, and I was just like, oh, like that's
yeah, you
know, it's goddamn it, Crystal. It's, game about Defender wasn't released on the Nintendo Entertainment System until 1986, and then
your observation is wrong.
Yeah, wife. I didn't do that, but I guess it is just the indistinct way he says the second line.
Yeah.
The lyrics is, you know, like none of the lyrics are great cheeks, but I think that chorus melody is very good.
And I'm down for some yacht rock. I just think this one doesn't have as much shake in its ass as some of the other ones.
Berserk is also like a yacht rock.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm much more fond of Going Berserk.
Yeah. I like them both quite a bit.
Yes.
But this is, you know, and I think again, for lyrics in this, I think that the, you know, there's a weird pathos and serious tone to this.
Yep.
which is very strange.
I've done all I can, at least for today.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like,
you know, he's like fighting an endless war. You know, I am the captain of the ship and its men. Like, yeah. there are lives at stake.
Well, I mean, specifically, like, oh, I've rescued everybody that I can, and the ones that I haven't been able to rescue, they will haunt me for my life.
Yeah, they're gonna follow me around until I die.
Yeah.
This is a winner for me, but it is largely on the curve.
Yeah.
the next song is Mousetrap.
Mousetrap, mousetrap, cheese was a bait. Would somebody help me before it's too late? The hawk is upon me and the cat's coming too. I'm caught in a mousetrap, now what will I do? Mousetrap, mousetrap, what can I do? Mousetrap, mousetrap, cheese was a bait. Would somebody help me before it's too late?
Mousetrap is not a good song.
No.
There is a bridge to this that I think is extremely funny, which we'll get to. But like, so this is like how to describe this, what this is musically.
So
like
people. So we should probably start, because people probably don't know what Mousetrap is. This is not referring to the board game. This is referring to an arcade game that is pretty rare. Like, I've never seen one.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like a Pac-Man clone.
Yeah, it's like a maze kind of thing.
Yeah, a maze chase game in the maze chase genre, but with different mechanics, like more walls, and you can move the walls. Like, watching it actually looks a little bit neat. Like, but I've never played Mousetrap.
Yeah.
I think this probably loses a lot of points for me as a song because of how annoying the chorus is.
Yep, annoyance is a real factor here. Yeah. Mousetrap, mousetrap, cheese with the bait.
Yeah, cheese with the bait. It is like a George Thorogood style rock song, I think. Yeah. Is probably the genre. Even the beginning with that, like, wow, 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 you know, that like guitar that opens it up.
Burr, burr, burr.
Yeah. This sounds like a voodoo love god song or Hindu love god song.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
to me, doesn't it seem like something? Yeah,
there's a smattering of blues all around this, and I don't care for it one bit. And I think a lot of the blues is concentrated here.
Yeah, this is the bluesiest thing they've done.
Yeah,
and like blues rock is not my fave.
Nah. And it very much is. And they're just really obsessed with the hierarchy of creatures in this.
I love that so much because there's that legendary Simpsons joke, with that, with like the, like what's, next gangster octopus, dog or something like that.
Yeah.
And this thing, but having that understanding, like, was there a time when you were a kid where you thought that dogs ate cats?
Oh, of course. Yeah, why else would they chasing them?
Yeah. Like, it's like, what a weird thing for tons of kids to believe that dogs just straight up eat cats as food.
Yeah. Well, there was also a time when I thought all cats were girls and all dogs were boys. I was a pretty dumb kid.
The bridge in this. So like, kudos for this, for having a third part, having a bridge at all, I guess. But he just starts kind of like chanting. He's like, now a mouse can eat the cheese and a cat can eat a mouse and a dog can eat a cat if he traps him in the house. And I'm like, yes, like a very hungry dog
would probably eat a cat
and a very weakened, like sick cat who are trapped in a house. The dog may win that fight and eat that cat.
Right.
That could be the case. However, it has nothing to do with Mousetrap. And is a weird conception just kind of in general.
Yeah. Also that a hawk is placed above them.
Yeah. A hawk will eat it doesn't say a hawk will eat a dog, but that's the implication. Try to get the prizes while avoiding the old hawk. And there's time for you to run. There's time for you to walk. Like that sounds like an expression, doesn't it?
Yep.
Like something like if you got a job working in the back room at a Kmart, and you had like a weird boss with one eye and like you like kind of jog to the break room and he goes, you got time enough to run. You got time enough to walk. And it's like that's not always true, but sometimes true. But also, how does it apply? Like, it has the cadence of a saying without actually meaning anything.
Well, he would have said time to lean, time to clean, but he didn't want to be cliche.
Yeah, he's working on new things.
Yeah. That's going to be the mark that he leaves on this world.
Yeah. If there's time enough, if there's time for you to run, there's time for you to walk.
Hey, Gary. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm having a real moment here because on genius.com they've got stats over here in the right sidebar. It says one viewing, and I assume that's you. That Gary, hi buddy.
Hey Buckner and Garcia buddy. That's very good. Yay. I oftentimes think it comes up most with abject suffering, but I oftentimes think that how weird it is that like with 7 billion people, that we are like the only people looking at a certain thing at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happens probably more than maybe even we think.
Probably.
But here it's nice to see it codified.
I know, right? To see it built in as a feature in this website.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. One viewing. And also, I don't know. I didn't play enough Mousetrap, so I don't. So maybe as the Mousetrap, you turn into a dog.
Maybe. Like when you get the power pellet kind of thing.
Yeah, because there's a verse that like I could turn into a dog if I only had a bone. I could press the doggy button and they'd leave me all alone. I can make the hawk turn stupid if I entered into quote unquote in.
Mm-hmm.
I could block and trap the cats and turn into a mouse again. So maybe this is actually extremely accurate, but I just haven't played the game and it sounds like nonsense.
So this is as close as we're going to get to that joke that I made about Centipede. Like imagine there was never a game called Centipede. Mousetrap never existed. Like this is just Buckner and Garcia, like inceptioning this game into existence.
Inceptioning a mouse, like polybiasing.
Yeah.
So like polybiasing. Yes.
She won the bait.
She's won the bait. Extremely like George Thorogood and the Destroyers kind of sounding thing, and a real bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, I this think. Is I'll get to it first and worse, but you know what I'm gonna say.
So the album ends though on a high note, with Goin' Berserk, which people who pay attention, this song was used in the second or third episode of Berserk that we covered for Bonfireside Chat.
Mm-hmm.
I put this in as the thing. And this is a song I like quite a bit.
This is so good. It is incredibly earnest.
Yeah, it is very sweethearted. And it also is kind of like a weird little love song, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Berserk is a dual-stick shooter about killing crazy robots. And,
yeah, that
and
talk to you.
Yeah, that talk to you and not killing civilians. And if anyone listening to this has never played Berserk, I implore you to, like, listen to a YouTube of it, because it was very, like, the digitized voices in it and sound effects, like, were a huge deal.
Yeah, and also, you have totally heard those digitized voices elsewhere.
Yes.
Like, those are very common kind of samples.
Yes, and because they're good. Like, they stand up.
Yeah.
So they take that game and kind of like the verses are a little bit about that, but I think he just kind of wanted to make this sappy love song that this kind of transitions into.
Yes.
In a weird way, starts off as kind of a piano song and then kind of just becomes this like driving pop song.
Right. Again, with that yacht rock kind of synth and like,
yeah.
It's weird because it is like he is trying to sneak some medicine into our applesauce here, because it starts out like, oh, I can move in 8 directions. Once I start, I'm never done. Like, okay, yeah, like describing mm-hmm. this. And eventually it just goes into talking about whoever you is.
Yes, like the titular, like the you that love songs are about.
Right.
You know, because you think, yeah, I think I'm going berserk. And berserk already means something other than the game. So that's why this... You know, this chorus could just literally be transplanted into a song not about a video game.
Right.
You know, I'm going berserk. I can't stop now. I'm addicted. I'm berserk over you. there's a real breathness of words in this in general, because each verse repeats the lyrics for the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a verse where he's like, I can move in 8 direction. Once I start, I'm never done. And then they sing the same words over the second part, where it's like, I can move in 8 directions since I start, I'm never done.
Yeah.
Like there's the little like bridge thing that they just repeat
mm-hmm.
Before going into unrelated chorus.
Yeah. it's very funny. Also, the chorus in this is like half of the song, not by like volume. It's not like they repeat it over and over again. The choruses are just incredibly long.
They're really long. It's a lot of lines in the chorus. And the ending of this, where it just, you know, the berserk, berserk, berserk over you know, this like little, like pretty good chant here at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like, you know, the verses are all game. Like they keep talking about Evil Otto, who is the name of the, like the villain of Berserk.
Right, right. And just if we're talking about powerful lines in this album, I think I'm going, I think I'm going berserk. Would you like to come too?
It's yeah.
Are you just like saying like berserk is crazy? Because when I think of berserk, I think about tearing people limb from limb.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm going to go into a barbarian rage and attack my party members is what I think of. But if he's just using it as like going crazy, it kind of makes this a very boilerplate kind of standard 70s rock song.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of sweet.
Yeah, with lots of very pretty synth over this. Like there's multiple layers going on. Like there's the prominent one that I call Yacht Rocky, but there's just a great deal happening with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a complex song. So it feels like they're not phoning this one in.
No.
You know, there's not a demo version of it, sadly, so I couldn't get the inside scoop, but
no.
This
is the one that when we hear it, I feel like this entire album is played at a PRGE, maybe with the exception of Mousetrap. But this is the one that I always like pick out, like I notice when it's playing.
So that's the end of the record. They do have a couple other video game related songs, which you mentioned mostly
mm-hmm.
already. I do want to not let's go by without mentioning Old School Gaming or Old School Gamer, which is a song they did later on. That is excrement.
It's so bad.
It's a real tough listen. And then E.T. I Love You, which also showed up in this, that is an extremely tough listen.
Ooh, E.T. I Love You feels very misguided in that, like, okay, it's got a sweet story behind it. Like, he saw E.T. and, shortly after he lost a pet. I think that had to put his dog to sleep or something like that. And then just he started writing this song about like, oh, E.T., I love you. You're just and like it really feels like this incredibly earnest, you know, keening love ballad about a slimy scrotum.
Yeah, which we talked about E.T. as an entity, like as an upside down scrotum.
Yeah.
like they took John Turturro and they put him in a green screen suit and just had his balls hanging out with a ping pong ball hanging from each one. And that was E.T. That was right. The mocap for E.T. You know, just 1-to-1. They texture lifted, you know, control C, the texture from John Turturro's balls. And this was when he was like, what, 17? And then control V.
Right.
And put them onto E.T. Like, he's disgusting.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's not really about that. It's not a very good song, though.
No, it's really not. And the interview that I read, which is on songfacts.com, it's actually kind of embarrassing because he's telling this story like, oh, my gosh, we really love this. And like, we sent it in to Steven Spielberg. And like, we, you know, like he talks about how, oh, we thought he was going to pull the movie and then put the song into it because movies don't really have theme songs anymore. And we wanted this to be a thing. Like, John Williams thing is really good. It's like, oh, go Buckner. No, Jerry, stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and there's another one on the iTunes version or the Apple Music version. There's a song called Hostage, which feels...
Oh, sure. That's on there, too.
Yeah, that like it's not video game related, so it kind of stuck out. I was like, what is this about? Like, what? Like, no, it's just like a We Didn't Start the Fire style Cold War anxiety kind of song.
Yeah. Like, or just kind of, you know, being held captive by like modern life,
being held Coptic, and, you know,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that, being that held Christian septic. Sect,
yeah, being held Gnostic, the just for you know, for just like modern life and stuff, pretty weak sauce,
yeah,
but you know, it's I'll forgive them for that. Yeah. There's also a as a member, I get access to a country western version of Pac-Man Fever that they recorded. Like, they wanted to release it as well. You know, and but never chart? Or yeah, to get like it, like, you know, yeah, I guess, like, to get the country charts, and it actually translates to a country song pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I prefer the original, but it you know, it sounds like a thing.
Yeah So that's all the songs on the album anyway.
Yeah. That's Buckner and Garcia's Pac-Man Fever, which, like, for things we've done on the show, to my mind, this is an unqualified recommendation to spin through this once.
Oh, yeah.
I really want everyone listening to this to, like, just, like, give this a shot if you didn't know this was a thing. Because, you know, maybe your taste will be different and than mine, and you maybe will not find this funny. But I find this tickle, like, quaint and funny in equal parts enough to be kind of, like, unique. And I'm very glad it exists.
Yeah. And there, you know, if you end up hating it, there's a certain amount of like, what the hell factor, but like, it is definitely of its time. Like, these are hooky songs, you know, that are pastiches, not just of video game stuff, but of like late 70s music in general.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not just like, oh, here's the rock song. Here's the love song. Like, it, you know, some of that is there, but it's a little bit harder to pin down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a slightly more going on than you might think.
Yeah. You know, just like novelty music, you're going to write it off. But yeah, it's worth firing up a YouTube playlist of this, I think.
Yes.
Exactly. So like, it's weird that we are positive about this, because I think what I said to you was, Gary, these songs are so fucking stupid. And yeah, they are. But when I call something fucking stupid, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it is. It does worm its way into your house and into your heart and your house a little bit. It does. Like, you will find a copy of this under your front door when you least expect it. A record of this will be slipped into your under your bathroom door next time you're in the shower.
Right.
It does worm its way into your house. But it is like something where it is just so hard to be like mad at. You know, like, can we compare it with like other things we've done that have been kind of just bad media.
Yeah.
For this show. Like, I am way more mad at Alone in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know,
I'm really mad at Pokemon Origins.
Yeah, that sucked. Like, that like sucked really bad. I'm mad at Advent Children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that sucked.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like, I mean, I guess the Advent Children didn't feel like cynical. But there's like a cynicism to projects that do adaptations like this. And then there are things like this where I'd almost put this in the same camp, not maybe quite as good quality, but like kind of similar to Maniac Mansion.
Yeah,
where it's like a very loose adaptation, but so earnest
mm-hmm.
that I can't hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, these are serviceable pop songs, if, you know, serviceable yet poorly constructed, right?
Yes. And you can, like, listen to them and just, like, there is the, like, showing your buddy appeal where you can be like, listen to this shit. And then the guy, you know, whispers, you know, it's like, do you wear Nike's Little Centipede? It's like one of the weirdest fucking things, you know?
Yeah.
It is just noteworthy as well. Like, feels extreme enough to be worth paying attention to and mm-hmm. is good enough to not hate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What's our first and worst on this bad boy?
My first, man, this is actually kind of tough. I'm going to say Hyperspace.
Mm-hmm.
Would be mine. The reason I say it's tough is because I wanted to give it to Goin' Berserk. But I think Hyperspace is the one that is like, oh, this is a fun song.
Mm.
Yeah. How about, what's your first?
My first would be Goin' Berserk.
Okay.
It's kind of like a, if I had to, you know, my favorite songs on this album are Goin' Berserk, Defender, and probably Donkey Kong mm-hmm. is my top tier. And then my mid tier has your Hyperspace, your Froggy's Lament, your Pac-Man Fever. And then my low tier has your Ode to a Centipede and Mousetrap.
Yeah.
And just for difference's sake, I'll give my lowest one to Ode to a Centipede, even though I think it's funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'll give mine to Mousetrap, even though it has that bridge.
Cut Ode to a Centipede in half. It gets up into that second tier. Mousetrap, I don't know what you need to do to make that better.
No, I really
Jeez
don't.
Was the bait.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, we talked about, like, Legacy or whatever, you know, I'm not that big of a fan of video game parody music. I want to give, like, a particular call out, though. Weirdly enough, the Mountain Goats have done video game theme songs, specifically two. They've got a song that they did with Khaki King on the EP Black Pear Tree called Sorry Mario, but Your Princess is in Another Castle.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't read the title and you didn't hear the last verse, you would never think it was about Mario. Mm-hmm. It's just this very sweet, simple song about somebody being saved. Mm-hmm. It's written from Toad's perspective. It's very sweet. And then they did a song. It was a B-side off of The Life of the World to Come. Called Enoch 1814, which is about Odin's sphere. But again,
yeah, which is a weird choice.
You would know, just like John Darnielle, as the best human, he was just really, you know, gets obsessed with video game stuff. Was like, oh, I love Odin's sphere, so I got inspired to write this song. And it's just about, oh, escaping this curse, and it's worked into this biblical theme that entire album was. It's quite good.
I don't think that it is inherently shitty or dumb to write video game related songs.
No.
You know, I think that, like, the Brentel Floss approach to it I find pretty annoying, but, like, you know, I will admit that, like, the pop songs that Jonathan Colton wrote for, like, Portal, like, when those came out, I really liked those songs. Like, mm-hmm. I still think those are good songs.
Yeah.
I'm done with them, and they're kind of, I don't necessarily what they signify,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you have somebody and you look at their iPad and it's all like that. Like, that's, you know, maybe a little bit hinky. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be a little questioning of that taste. But those are good songs.
Yeah.
The I did, in my very prolific, kind of unlistenable Casio music thing, did an EP that were all video game songs.
Hmm.
Many of which did not survive. But, you know, I lost that EP. But there were a couple of them, you know, that did. And the one that we played a lot, like, and I ended up playing with my band, was also called, was also based on Mario Brothers, about Princess being in another castle. And the concept was that Luigi was in love with the princess, but fakes his suicide to get out of the way of Mario. And the way he does it is he jumps out of the castle holding a star and activates it right before he hits the ground. So they see him jump off the parapet and think that he's dead, and then he goes into exile to leave Mario and the princess to their thing.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of songs that were, like, you know, dumber or worse. But I wish I had them. Like, I don't have very much stuff I've recorded that's just lost.
Right.
And I just don't have any copies of that. So, like, you know, I would love to have one, but I don't.
Hmm.
But I'm not also saying, like, you know, Brendelfoss sucks and my songs were very good. Like, you know, this shit I made in my early mid-20s, like, I don't think it was very good. But I just mean that it's not inherently dumb.
No, it's not like a, it is not a futile pursuit writ large. It's just like, I can't, maybe because I haven't, like, looked for it, and everything I've been exposed to has been through DJ Switch at PRG.
Sure. And know? That's a poison chalice and a half. Like, right. Yeah, you know, that's a poison big gulp. Like, not because of DJ Switches, like, you know, I'm not making fun of him for being a big dude. I'm just mean it's very like poison, and it's a entirely, it's a very big gulp.
Yeah.
That you take over the course of a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm possibly, you know, like there might be good stuff. I'm not really that interested in it. If I came across
it. Yeah, I'm not going to pursue it either. Yeah, like the big thing too is like, you know, I know Brendel Floss, I know some of those like parody people, a lot of this stuff happens in the field of like nerd rap, which I think is, you know, as far as like things I find very odious that also, you know, I have dabbled in,
mm-hmm.
like, I think that, that is, not something I'm interested in.
Right.
But there are a lot of, what I am totally there for, is like Wu-Tang Clan members talking about video, like bringing up video games and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their songs like that, that is very cool to me when that happens. Like I'm way into like sincere, rap songs that drop video games, because all those dudes are huge dorks and mm-hmm. like video games a lot.
Yeah.
That's very cool to me.
Way into it.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a way to do it. It would be like, you know, maybe it would be like Brendel Floss, but Brendel Floss doesn't write original songs. Like, trying to imagine what Pac-Man Fever would be like in 2017 is very strange.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
if somebody actually, you know,
it'd be easier to launder the video gameness, right? Just because games are more complex now.
I think that makes it harder to launder the video gameness. Hmm. Like, it would be less like a walkthrough. But it would be, you know, you'd be describing plots instead of describing mechanics.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking about it, you know, as the, you know, the Enoch song from, you know, from the Mountain Goats. Like, yeah, like you just do one of those, because like that's a, you know, pretty, you know, complex game as far as like what's depicted in it and stuff. You know, you can just kind of talk about themes broadly or put it from the point of view of one character without straight up saying like, it's a Mass Effect.
Yeah,
it's a Mass Effect.
What the Mass Effect? Yeah, it powers the ship. The ship goes and the Mass Effect rips. We go across the country fighting Reavers left and right. Gonna have sex with my companions tonight.
It's a Mass Effect.
But I think that like the Mountain Goats approach to it, which is kind of to obfuscate it, like he could do, or not, like, I'm not, this is not, I like John Darnielle. I was going to say something that sounded like attributing something unique to him.
Step careful. Yes. Yeah.
No. I was going to say something that sounded like the opposite. I was going to say something that sounded like I was overblowing him as being the only person in the world who can do this, which is not the case.
Yeah, no.
Like I feel like other people could take a very theme first and blending approach where like, this is a little bit Silent Hill, but I tied in some Bible stuff and some character stuff and some theme stuff. Like, that's not exactly what I mean for this. Like, he could do that about Donkey Kong too.
Yeah.
You know, that has nothing to do with modern games. That just has to do with
John, like, Darnielle.
Well, again, but like, I don't think that's unique. Like, it has to do with like that specific sensibility, you know, something that is more like has its intention on its sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, like the dumb Mass Effect song we made up, like, something like that would be extremely weird to see.
Yeah.
But if you were going to try to do it, now would be the time, because I could see like kids eating that shit up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I haven't done it, but like if I put Minecraft song into, or like Five Nights at Freddy's song into YouTube, Jesus Christ.
I mean, Gary, like, we, man, remember when we were at that fun center a few years back? And like, we, you know, we were sitting there eating brown food in the restaurant there, and then just like on a loop on the big screen there was just this Gangnam Style parody called Minecraft Style.
There was that. Yeah. So I guess this is maybe already happening just for kids.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. Mad balls, get the mad balls.
Gonna babble with the babbles.
Yeah, 79 hours of content. yeah, it is extremely weird, but I'm glad this exists. Thank you for taking this journey with me.
Yeah, no, this, like I said at the beginning, this is an inspired choice. I wouldn't have initially, you know, thought of it, but like the second you said it, as we were listening to do the Donkey Kong or whatever over this, I was like, yeah, perfect, good. So yeah, no need to thank me. This has been fun for me. I hope it's been fun for the listeners.
Like, I hope so too.
I just, you know, I really like talking about music on podcasts with you. Yeah, it's fun to talk about music.
Yeah. And we'll be next month when we do it, it'll be something more traditional as well.
Right.
You know, undoubtedly something in a visual medium.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. If you have this through Patreon, thank you for patronizing us. If you bought this from the store, thank you for buying it from the store.
Yeah.
There are many other things for you to buy. give that a shot. I think some of our best stuff comes out kind of behind a paywall, which is that's how we get you.
So like we've said in the past, like we are kind of taking some recommendations and stuff. It's weird. We Gary, you went into the premium channels or the premium shows channel in Slack. You're like, hey, you're never going to guess what we've done. And people are like, oh, is it this? That'd be a good way to solicit recommendations.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, I'm not trying to spoil and I don't know when we'll do it, but somebody said Clue and like, we got to do Clue.
Oh, we absolutely have to.
Like, I think that is actually like a pretty good adaptation of a board game. Yeah. Like, And I love that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, I love that
Michael
movie.
McKean? Come on.
Yeah, I think it's very funny and very clever. Yeah. So, maybe Clue, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm not saying it won't be the next time either. It'll just depend on what we feel like doing.
Yeah.
So we are interested in suggestions for things like this, especially things that are good.
Yes.
Like that. Like, it is, we don't want to turn this into just the bad movie time.
No.
We have fun with those episodes too, but I don't want all to be that. You know what I was thinking this weekend? I went and last night... I went and watched Baby Driver again.
Okay.
And there's a trailer for the new Tomb Raider and it looks kind of okay.
Huh.
Have you seen that trailer?
No.
We should at some point, like, that would be a fun thing too, if that's in second run theaters or reasonable to get and do something kind of new.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to make it so hard for me to take notes.
Yeah. You sit in the back row. You'll be okay.
Okay.
It's based on the, like, the 2013 game and like the trailer, like, looked kind of like a fun action movie. So
nice.
Kind of surprised
if it's as good as the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Which was also like, I mean, not the worst thing in the world.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Had some fun with that.
Yeah. I've thought about some of the newer ones, like the WoW movie might be a weird one.
That would also be so. We're not out of things to do, but we just are interested in things that didn't occur to us.
Right, right.
As the show gets, you know, towards its double digits.
Right.
It'll
get towards its. Yeah, it's about there now. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that we wouldn't get just by, like, you know, Googling bad video game movie or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So hit us up on Twitter or Slack if you want to share that stuff with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably about it.
I think so.
I'm going to go grab some dinner and go to band practice.
Oh, I'm going to go reheat some spaghetti. So,
yay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.